I'm Jordan Marr, and this is The Ruminant, a podcast about food politics and food security and the cultural and practical aspects of farming. You can find out more at theruminant.ca or email me, editor@theruminant.ca. I'm on Twitter, @ruminantblog, or find me on Facebook. All right, let's do a show.
Hey folks, it's Jordan. So I am actually in my van on my delivery route. It's Wednesday. Wednesday has always been my main distribution day, but this year it's even longer as I have... Well, so last year, 90% of my sales were to restaurants. Pandemic, I was going to be effed. If I didn't do something. I've always maintained a... household program. Last year, 90% of my sales were to restaurants. I signed up 500 households. And then I started to sell. Conversion rate. No financial commitment. Send out an email to like 500 households. 15 orders, 20 orders, 25 orders. Don't have a lot of variety coming out of the garden. Not like what I was hoping for. And so when you're trying to coax this squirrel over to you and you don't have very good nuts, it's going to be harder. It's going to be a rough one. And I imagine it's going to be rough for many of you. Some others of you are like killing it right now. And I have colleagues who do frozen pasture-raised meat. The meat supply chain has truly been a little bit throttled. People love their meat. They can store it. People are freaking out. They can store it. People love their meat. So they're like, they're aggregating meat right now. I have got a microphone. I've clamped it to the little handle under my van seat. You know, like to move the seat forward and backward. I set it up when I was parked. Anyway, I've missed you all. Didn't come through this year. Failed to get any episodes done in the winter. Had another child in October. That has just been enough. Record my podcast. Hard on my wife, Vanessa. Just didn't feel right or fair. I don't think she would argue with me about that either. Those are my... excuses. So here's what I'm thinking. An idea I had coming into this year, cold calling farmers and talking to them for 5 or 10 minutes. I might try that now. I have a stretch of my drive that's about 30 minutes. Cold calling a farmer. What's going on for you with COVID? I'm actually scared to do this. Why don't we go next door to Alberta? Organic farms around Calgary. No, I'm not.
Here are the listings for organic farms near Calgary.
Okay. Let's see. It's not going to be all organic. I'm organic. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry, you non-organic folks. I want to talk to you too. I want to talk to all of you. We see, oh shit, Lone Wolf Farms temporarily closed. Let's chase down that lead. Okay, I'm really gonna do this, and I'm really nervous. again, this is way easier. This goes so well in my head when I think about such things. It's kind of weird to be doing right now, but all right. There's even a call link for their business, so this is like really easy and not very dangerous. Here we go.
Hello, Ben speaking.
Sorry, I better introduce myself. This is Jordan. I'm a farmer in British Columbia.
Hi, are you looking for Lone Wolf Farms?
Oh, I am, yeah.
The Google directory number is incorrect.
I apologize. Okay, well...
It's not your fault. No big deal. Can you do me a huge favor, though?
Yeah.
Can you request an edit on the Google directory? It's just a couple of clicks when you click into their page.
Okay.
I've been trying to get them to change it because it's clearly not their number. But
well, do you?
I messaged them on Facebook and stuff.
Do you have a minute to exchange favors? Like, do you have a minute to talk to me right now?
Sure.
Okay, this is going to be the weirdest call you get today. I'm a farmer in BC. I'm recording right now. I want to say that. I have a podcast for farmers. I was just randomly choosing a farmer to call to ask them about COVID and how it's going for them. And then, like, do you want to tell me in 1 minute, like, expand on that? How many calls do you get for Lone Wolf, like, a day?
It's probably like 3 or 4 a month. I mean, some weeks I'll get 2 and some weeks I'll get nothing.
Well, that's got to be pretty annoying for you.
It's not bad. Everyone who's called has been polite. So, I mean,
I think you
should definitely be worse.
You should consider selling vegetables on the side. You might turn this into a profitable side hustle.
Yeah, it's my work phone. If it was my personal phone, maybe, but yeah.
All right. Well, I'll let you go pretty quick here, but are you still working during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. What's your first name?
Braden.
Braden, I really appreciate your time, and I'm sorry for the
bother
call.
No, it's all good, man.
And I will I'll make that request to the social media things.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
That was kind of fun. I listen to better podcasters who are real journalists who would, like, really dig deep with Braden. I immediately just feel terrible about that. I mean, he didn't expect that call, like, but he seemed friendly. I should have gone deeper. I should have asked him, like, what he did for a living and whatever, but I just didn't want to be a pest. I don't mind being a pest to other farmers, but anyway, okay, Lone Wolf. Okay, let's do a new search. So that was Calgary. Lone Wolf, change your business directory, change your business number. Lone Wolf, you're temporarily closed. I hope you're going to make it through. I hope this isn't COVID related, or I just hope it isn't for a bad reason that you're temporarily closed. But I tried to get a hold of you, Lone Wolf, but you need to update your business listing, it would appear. Where are we going to go next? Veggie Farms, Fredericton. Oh, Woodstock. I've been there. So they're outside Fredericton. Hello?
Leave a message after the tone.
Okay, well, we're going to go over back to Google Maps. That was working for me. Strawberry Hill Farm, you missed your chance to feature on a middling, mostly defunct farming podcast, so shattered dreams, folks. Veggie Farms, Ottawa.
Here is Veggie Trail Farms.
Hi, can you hear me now?
I can hear you better, yes.
Okay, my name's Jordan. I'm a veggie grower in British Columbia.
Okay.
I am recording right now. I have a podcast that is aimed at farmers.
Yes.
This will be the strangest call you get today. I'm just trying to get a farmer on the line who can tell me how it's going producing vegetables during the pandemic.
It's going fine. My gardens are all planted. I've got 4 acres off of this site, and then I have about 1,000 square feet on this site of gardens. The stuff I pick every day is grown here, and the other vegetables that I harvest in the morning and then bring to the stand, they're all planted. They're all going just fine. I have a total of 5 employees, and so that fits under Ontario's legal amount of people. We've got masks for them all, and everything's going just fine. I've had to rebuild my entire vegetable stand. Like, we grow and vend it right here on our property. Mm-hmm. It's a farm gate property. So I haven't really had a lot of problems. I have very dedicated employees. They're lovely, lovely people. We grow everything completely organically and stuff like that. So I don't have any issues with COVID-19 is what you're asking about, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a sense of how it's going for different farmers during the pandemic. What's your first name?
Steve.
Steve, this is Jordan. Look, Steve, I've ambushed you. You can kick me off anytime you want, but
fine. I'm just doing some finished construction. We don't let people in our stand. This has become a difficulty for us. So the lineup out front and the counter space, people want to be able to come in and touch the food.
Yeah,
that's probably
of course.
That's probably our most difficult part, is that people want to be able to come in and touch the food. We went straight ahead and started wholesaling food off the property, local Ontario food off the property, right in March. And that's allowed us to describe the whole situation to our customers in advance, so they know what to expect when they come here. We don't have any migrant workers, so we haven't had any difficulty with that. But some of our suppliers, like we have farm partners, and some of those people are having difficulties getting their employees, for sure.
Yeah, it seems if like the larger scale farms have a huge challenge that we small scalers don't have. I'm like you, I have three employees, so my employment situation has not been a problem. Although I've had more challenges, it sounds like, than you trying to adapt. How did you feel early on? Were you worried at any point from the start of the pandemic, or was it pretty clear to you early on that it was going to be okay for you?
No, it's a constant worry, just to make sure that we have to stop the spread. That's what my main goal is, stop the spread and feed people real food. So I had to get my stand open. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. So I just put an extension awning all the way around my stand and made a corridor, a 6-foot corridor for people to walk in, and put a counter on the outside of my stand so they can see in the stand. They can not be in the stand. We're at the apex of two highways. They're both 4-lane. Like, people can see that I'm growing vegetables right here. I encourage people to grow their lawn, you know, that kind of stuff. That's the attitude we have towards it. So our customers can send their order, and then we'll email them back to say it's ready.
So are you finding, like, is there a percentage of customers, you say that people love to touch food, you know, and experience
right.
it before they buy it. Do you get any customers who ask to, like, for the employee to bring it over so they can look at it first, or is that just, is everyone kind of falling in line?
I've been so busy. Like, usually my wife is there helping me with the gardens, but she's just trying to keep, like, we opened up the stand right away as soon as we could. As soon as I finished getting it built, and it's only partly built, I got a construction guy here with me today, and we're just finishing up the rest of it. She's been here. You'd have to refer to her, but I don't think that they want to see it. Like, the only thing I have in season right now is asparagus, really.
Mm-hmm.
Strawberries will start day after tomorrow, and so our season is just getting going. So I can't really answer that question. I know that we put the asparagus out where people can see it, but we ask them not to touch it. You can look at it and then pick the one you want. I'm just setting up some shelving that they can visually see from a little bit closer in behind the counter on one side of my stand, sort of thing, if that makes any sense. It's complicated to explain on a phone, but they'll want to touch it. They'll want to get the specific size. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
They want to handle the food, and I can't let them handle the food. So that's going to be politics, really. We're just talking politics. It's like you have to explain to a person that I refuse to let continue the spread. I have to check it right here. My employees are all, we take our temperatures on a regular basis. You know, we make sure we're not sick. We don't want to pass it. And we don't want it passed on to us either.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This is one of the first calls I've made this way, and it's really refreshing to first, you know, to chat with a farmer who, A, is doing okay during this, and is also clearly really taking the threat seriously, which is, like, really great to hear.
Oh, well, we all have to remain optimistic. I mean, we are going to pass this. It will pass, and we have to remain optimistic. But we can't continue the spread. It just brings me to tears to watch our healthcare workers working for no reason at all.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a great job, and if we don't help them, they will collapse. They're at the brink of collapse now. I have a lot of doctors and nurses and stuff like that that come, but I live not that far from a hospital, the Queensway Carlton Hospital here in Ottawa, and they come, and you can see it on their faces. They're stressed to the maximum that they can be stressed. If we don't stop this for them, then we're going to have a problem. So remain optimistic. I mean, my customers, they're lovely people. These are lovely people. These are people that want to eat organic food, people that understand community is the only thing that saves us.
You said your name's Steve, right?
Yeah.
Steve, it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Cheers. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Aw, Steve in Ottawa. That was awesome. Sorry, folks. I don't know how you heard that. Well, first of all, I think the sound's going to be bad, but that's not what I meant. I'm a little nervous still, so I wasn't being a very good interviewer, but I'll get better. this has actually started out more enjoyable than I thought it might. Sorry, actually, I thought it was going to be awesome in theory, and then in practice, I was really chicken to do it, but that was kind of fun. Braden and Steve really eased me into this, really nurtured this experience for me, which only bodes well for my future motivation. So I don't know how you'll feel about that, because you may think this is the stupidest podcast format you've ever heard. But we're going to keep going.
You have reached
Jerome.
Please leave your message after the tone. After leaving a message, you can hang up or press pound for more options.
CSA program, Winnipeg. Community supported agriculture, Winnipeg. Community supported agriculture, Winnipeg. Community supported agriculture, Kamloops. Community supported agriculture, Kamloops. Kamloops is where I'm from. It's a small city of 80,000, a little bit kind of northwest of here. Farms around Vancouver. Farms around Vancouver.
Here is some information about Vancouver.
I don't need any
Vancouver,
information.
A bustling
I don't
West
care.
Coast sea.
Farms around Vancouver. Farms around Vancouver.
Here are the listings for farms near Vancouver.
Thank you for calling the Center for Sustainable Food Systems at the UBC Farm. Our office hours are 9 to 5, Mondays to Fridays. You can find
Apparently
out more
not.
At ubcfarm.ubc.ca.
Those hours.
Please leave
it's
us
Wednesday
a message or
at
email farm.team@ubc.ca. And we'll
thank you for calling Maplewood Farm. Please press 1 for our hours of operation and location. Please press 2 to speak to our front desk.
I'm almost it.
Hi, it's Janie. I've missed your call. I tend to not check my voicemail very often, so if you are leaving one, I would also suggest that you send a text or try calling.
You can't share people's last names, Jordan. Don't do that.
Thank you for calling North Shore Neighborhood House. If you know the extension number of these entries now.
What are all these like big farms with I don't understand. Alright.
I can't get your call right now. Please leave a message. I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Salford Farm's not sticking.
So I'm gonna actually pass this off for the time being because I'm not the farmer.
Okay.
I'm just the admin guy, so
okay.
I'm not really the best person for you to talk to, and but if you'd like, maybe you could send me an email, and I can direct you to the right person.
Yeah, I'll totally. Jerome.
Hey, Jordan, how are you doing?
Good. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Are you driving?
Yes, I'm also recording right now. You're being recorded.
Okay.
I'm randomly calling farmers to like ask them how it's going during the pandemic.
Oh, okay. It's the farm's doing good. The sales are not perfect, but now they're picking up a bit. It's not easy. The farmers market restarted, and I decided not to do them.
Yeah.
Because there's limited space, and I don't have that much stuff, and
you mean you don't have that much stuff yet, right?
I don't have that much stuff yet, and there will be more stuff, but the restaurants are picking up, so I want to keep the stuff for them more than bringing it to market. And the logistics of the market is a little tricky. You're only letting a certain amount of people at a time, and there's no browsing, and the social aspect of it's not there, and people can't really choose their things. Well, they can choose, but everything has to be packaged, and so it's kind of trickier. And then the disposable aspect of the farmer's market was already getting to me in the last few years, like packing everything in basically single-use plastics. Could be multi-use, but most people, you know, they open their bag of lettuce and then they throw out the bag. And that was kind of bugging me, and this is giving me another excuse of not doing it this year.
So can you, let's go into a bit more detail. How does it work with the market during the pandemic? Like, do people have to pre-order, or can they come and browse, but they can only browse items that are all wrapped up?
Okay, so until 2 weeks ago, it was all pre-order. So you went on the farmers market website, and they had each different farms had a page, basically a web page through there. So you went on there and you pre-ordered, and then all the farmers brought the things over to the drop-off spot where they set up everything alphabetically for the clients to come and pick up, basically.
Okay.
I didn't take part of it because I basically had nothing. I pushed back a lot of the stuff I was growing, the early stuff I'd grow for farmers market and for the restaurants, which were closed. So I just didn't grow any early crops this year. And then 2 weeks ago, the farmers market restarted in Penticton, and it's basically the same way it normally is, but people can't. Basically, if you touch it, it's yours. You can't choose your things. Like, you point at things and you pay for it and you go away. I'm not quite sure exactly the details on how it works. I haven't gone, and I'm not planning on doing them until the end of July, sort of thing. So I'm not too sure of the exact details.
Man, I would be lobbing bunches of radishes at customers like footballs then.
Yeah, it's that's pretty much how it works, I think. I think it's the clients can't basically touch your produce. And I think it's a little tricky for that, but the farmers that are doing it, I'm sure they're doing great. I know the there's more security at the market. I mean, there's more staff, so they limit the amount of people that can go in the market. So there's only one entrance and one exit to the market, and they limit it to 50 people, 50 clients at a time. There's more gaps in between the farmers. They can't have tents touching, so there's more space. And I hear, like, the first market, it was really popular, and there was, like, a two-hour waiting period for people to go in because people were... It was too popular. Too many people went to go for it.
Because I guess the silver lining there is that the people that are coming are there to buy farm produce.
Yeah, like, exactly. So yeah. So I'm sure the farmers that were there did amazingly. I'm sure that was really good for them. But for me, I just don't... I don't have enough extra right now for it. There's, you know, there'd be kale and spinach. Yeah, that's not worth it. I'm not going to go and do market for two greens where all the other farmers will have greens anyways.
And there's
I have enough interest from the restaurants that are reopening to you know, wait, basically.
Yeah,
to wait until I have more stuff. And
Yeah, so sorry, Jerome. I'm cutting you off because I'm almost at I'm almost at my next delivery, household delivery, but I just want to touch on one more thing. So that was fun to hear about your market. Thank you for that. You, of all the people I talked to, like, during the pandemic, because you're like a friend and colleague in my valley, so we've talked before. You were the most, like, zen about it all. Like, you were like, you know what? I've got some savings. I just started a new farm lease that I need to put a lot of work into. I don't care if it's a bad year. I'm not going to try and aggressively pivot. I'm just going to, like, if it's a bad year, it's a bad year. I can handle it. And so why go to, like, crazy amounts of effort to try and make this work? That was about 6 weeks ago. How does your attitude compare now?
That is still my view. My saving, obviously, I've chewed through a lot of my savings with the new farm. I've had some bigger equipment to buy and, you know, cost of living and everything, but I'm still fine. I'm still, you know, of course, at the end of the year, I'll have maybe less money, maybe no money. But the sales are growing right now, so I'm doing pretty good. But I figured pivoting, like, my business model is going to work after this is done. Like, there's no issue with that. The restaurants are going to reopen at some point, and I'm not keen on farmers market anymore. I, you know, to move to a more direct to consumer pay online sort of thing, that's a different business. I'm not keen on it. You know, if this is the way we're going to work forever, I'll pivot next year, basically.
And
if it's
by then, all of us who jumped in feet first will have plenty of helpful insights for you. So there's another reason it's a good approach.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of the people like you and a few of the other farmers that pivoted to a lot more direct-to-consumer aspects, if the restaurants reopen in a more proper way, you guys won't have the extra produce for them. So I'll have a bigger share of the restaurants, basically.
Yes, I think that probably applies to some farms, although since you brought it up, like I've specifically structured my household program to pivot back. Like I intentionally didn't require any commitments, financial or time commitments, from my household customers, because I wanted to be able to like move my priority back to the restaurants, which is where my heart is, Jerome. It's where my heart is.
That's good. But I do think there's a few farmers that did pivot from restaurants to clients that won't be able to pivot back. Same with the farmers market, that when the farmers market reopened, they'll move back to the farmers market.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, the sales are going to be tough this year, but next year, hopefully they'll be better. And, you know, I don't need to make millions. I just need to pay my rent and be okay. It'll be fine.
You're that's awesome, Jerome. That's so, I admire your outlook. So we have to stop now. I was trying to get farmers on the phone all the way from Penticton, and it didn't happen until you called me and I was 2 minutes from my next stop. But
I'm going to cut out anyways. I'm on the back road towards Penticton, and this is probably bad for the phone anyway. It's going to get a little touchy on the backside.
All right. Well, listen, man, thank you for the thoughts, and let's have a real like.
Today I learned I don't need anything to live on except for little old you. I've met a whole army of weasels, a legion of leeches trying to give me the screw. But if we bury ourselves in the woods in the country, wear no clothes so we never have laundry, we'll owe nothing to this world of thieves. Live life like it was meant to be. Ah, don't fret, honey, I've got a plan to make our final escape. All we'll need is each other, $100, and maybe a roll of duct tape, and we'll run right outside of the city's reaches. We'll live off chestnut spring water and peaches. We'll owe nothing to this world of thieves, and live life like it was meant to be. Why would we live in a place that don't want us? A place that is trying to bleed us dry. We could be happy with life in the country, with salt on our skin and the dirt on our hands. I've been doing a lot of thinking, some real soul searching, and here's my final resolve. I don't need a big old house or some fancy car to keep my love going strong. So we'll run right out into the wild's embraces. We'll keep close quarters with gentle faces and live next door to the birds and the bees and live life like it was meant to be.